1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." On June 20th, 1676, the Governing Council of Charlestown, Massachusetts held a meeting to determine how best to express thanks to God for His blessings. They had seen their community securely established. They wanted to express thanksgiving. By unanimous vote, they instructed Edward Rawson, the clerk, to proclaim June 29th as a day of thanksgiving, our first thanksgiving in this country. Here's the proclamation that was read. "The Holy God, having by a long and continual series of His afflictive dispensations, in and by the present war with the heathen natives of this land, has brought to pass bitter things against His own covenant people in this wilderness. Yet so that we evidently discern that in the midst of His judgments, He hath remembered mercy, having remembered His footstool in the day of His sore displeasure against us for our sins, with many singular intimations of His fatherly compassion and regard, reserving many of our towns from desolation threatened and attempted by the enemy, and giving us, especially of late, with many of our confederates, many signal advantages against them, without such disadvantages to ourselves as formerly we have been made sensible. If it be the Lord's mercy that we will not, that it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed." It certainly bespeaks our positive thankfulness when our enemies are in any measure disappointed or destroyed, and fearing the Lord should take notice under so many intimations of His returning mercy, we should be found an insensible people, as not standing before Him with thanksgiving, as well as lading Him with our complaints in the time of our pressing afflictions. That's the end of the proclamation. We've now fixed thanksgiving at the end of harvest time, which is natural to us for giving thanks for the bounty of harvest. Perhaps after today's sermon and considering Paul's admonition, we can enter into this season with additional gusto. We sometimes talk about certain situations and responses that separate the men from the boys, we say, something that marks the mature from the immature. Thankfulness is a mark that distinguishes between people. It is of such a degree and of such a deep nature that it even distinguishes the Christian from the unbeliever. One of the marks of our depravity, according to Romans 1:21, is that when men knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Depravity leads to an omission of thankfulness to God. Paul gives in many places thankfulness as a mark of a true Christian. One of those places is in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 6. Listen to these words and how Paul contrasts thankfulness with all manner of depravity. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." A long list of sin that characterizes the disobedient men on the face of the earth. One thing that distinguishes the Christian from them: be ye thankful. How many times do we see thankfulness to God explicitly expressed in our culture? in song, in verse, art of any kind. I recently heard a public address where someone said that if you see a turtle on a fence post, you know that it did not get there alone, and that we should be thankful to our families and others for helping us succeed. But even there, there was not an explicit reference to thankfulness to God. Genuine thankfulness to God through Jesus Christ is at the same time appropriate and distinguishing for the Lord's people. Thankfulness is a true mark of the Lord's people. We want to look at Paul's admonition and its three natural divisions in this one verse. We want to look at those divisions in the way of questions. First of all, to what extent are we to be thankful? To what extent are we to be thankful? Paul answers that by saying, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Now, perhaps we might say, well, I can conceive how that possibly I could be thankful to God no matter what circumstance I am in. But that is not the full extent of Paul's admonition regarding thankfulness. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Try the exercise. Try it right now. I think the Lord has a sense of humor sometimes, and I've been trying to do this a little bit more in the last few days. You know, it's a preacher's lot to preach these kinds of things and feel like a hypocrite a lot. So I've been trying to be a little more thankful lately. This morning I woke up with a crick in my neck and a pain that's not normally there. And while I was taking a shower this morning, the Lord reminded me that I needed to be thankful in this condition and even for this condition. The psalmist said in 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. In Isaiah, even in view of God's chastening of Israel that was promised, it was coming after Isaiah's day. Isaiah said in 63:7, I will make mention of the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and of his great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. We certainly don't need to forget to be thankful to the Lord for the good things that he has given us. We think of God's electing love. Can you imagine? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Can you imagine believing such a doctrine? That God actually wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that we are not deceived by the beast or the false prophet or by any sinful influence? Can we believe such a thing and not be thankful? Can we believe that our Lord Jesus Christ would humble himself and become obedient unto death after being found in fashion as a man? Even the death of the cross? Paul said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Can we imagine not being thankful for the Holy Spirit of God that works in us to will and to do of God's good pleasure, who intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered? The Comforter, the one that draws us close to God, that writes God's law in our hearts? Could it be that we would not be thankful to the Lord? Paul says, not necessarily precisely to the about the Holy Spirit, but in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, he says that we should give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us fit or meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We should give thanks for our fellowship with one another. Paul says, we cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in our prayers. It's easy for us to get to the point where we're not thankful for one another, especially when someone has done something to aggravate us or disappoint us or fail to live up to our expectations. Let us not be forgetful to be thankful for the blessing of fellowship. And of course, the temporal blessings that are all around us, we should not be forgetful to be thankful for those things. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. He reminded Timothy that every creature of God is good. Rattlesnakes, pork. Every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. If what? If it be received with thanksgiving, because it's sanctified by the Word of God in prayer. Don't you love it when you're out eating somewhere in a restaurant and you look over at a table and the people that have just received their food are bowing their heads to give thanks to the Lord? Isn't that a blessing? My heart leaps when I see that and I say, I believe I'm kin to that person. I believe I'm spiritually a brother to that person. We're thankful for the good things that God has given us. In everything, though, in all things, be thankful. What about in adversity? Should we be thankful for the adverse conditions that God brings into our lives? And I did say God brings them into our lives. Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord took away. You know the next phrase. I'm going to hold it for just a moment and read a verse in the next chapter, in chapter 2, verse 10, where his wife rebuked him and said, curse God and die. And that's a lot. That's exactly what we would like to do sometimes, isn't it? When we have strong adversity against us and things are not going right and we're suffering, we would like to curse God and die. But here's what Job said to his wife. Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Now, the last phrase of Job 1:21 that I omitted is this. The Lord took away things that Job loved and that were a comfort to him and were a sense of joy to him. And when he noted this, he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Peter said that it was thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God would endure grief, suffering wrongfully. That was thankworthy. If we suffer for our own sins, that's to be expected. It's a matter of praise and thanks. When a man is given the ability, or a woman is given the ability, to endure grief, suffering wrongfully, and still maintain the attitude of thankfulness to God in the midst of it. I want to touch on something that is extremely difficult theologically to do. And I'm not pretending to have accomplished success in this feat. But I want us to think just a minute about, can we possibly thank God in and even for the temptations of Satan, and even those temptations of Satan that we fall for? Now, I want you to understand something. I am not saying that we should be thankful for sin or evil per se. God's attitude toward sin is not the same as his attitude toward righteousness. But I want you to understand something. God is bigger than sin. God is wiser than the devil. God is bigger than all my sin. And He can overrule it for His wise and holy purposes for good. I'm going to delay the doctrinal discussions for how to support these assertions until this afternoon. But we must believe that we are able to give thanks even when tempted by the devil. For one thing, we can thank God because the temptations that we do experience aren't more severe. God knows how to reveal certain things to cities in such a way that they not repent. He told the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida that if the mighty works that had been done in them had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have remained until His day. But God withheld those works from being done in Sodom and Gomorrah. And He allowed Sodom and Gomorrah to be destroyed for His own purposes. So flip that around. God knows how to let sin and temptation come into our lives to such a degree that His purposes are achieved, but that we're not totally destroyed. Now, Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Well, Lord, I've already sinned. I've already failed. I've already polluted myself. I didn't escape. But has not the Lord made a way for us even now? Yes, He has. And we talked about that in the case of David and how he was able to pray and hope and look forward to and make wise decisions in the midst of him having to flee Jerusalem because of Absalom's rebellion. He knew to send the high priest back to Jerusalem. He knew to send Abiathar back to contradict the counsel of Ahithophel to Absalom. David had a way of escape even though he had already sinned. And he could write joyfully and hopefully and thankfully even after he had sinned. We can rejoice in our sin, not in the sin per se. I hope I don't have to say that louder to make it get on the tape. But we can rejoice that we have a great high priest who is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what it's like for us to be tempted and for us to fall into the clutches of the devil. And we can rejoice in that. Now, he never sinned, of course. And we're not to say, when we're tempted, that I am tempted of God. God forbid. James says in James 1:13 that we must not say that I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. But I can tell you this, when we have sinned, and even when God is dealing with us, punishing us, or chastening us is a better word, for our sin, we should learn, we must learn, to be thankful and not complain. Now, that, you remember the wanderings of Israel in the wilderness. Why did they wander in the wilderness for 40 years? Because of their sin. Because of their unbelief. Because they had disobeyed God. God said, go into the land. They said, we don't believe we can take it. They disobeyed God. And we read how that as they wandered in the wilderness, in Numbers chapter 14, that they did what? They murmured and they complained. Can I give us a test for whether we're thankful or not? We cannot be thankful and murmur and complain at the same time. impossible. Guilty here. We can't complain about how people are abusing us, or how we've failed ourselves, or how poor is our condition, or how anything. We can't complain and murmur and be thankful to God at the same time. These are polar opposites. The children of Israel had sinned. God was disciplining them. They should have learned from God's discipline of them, and they should have been thankful that He didn't wipe them off the face of the earth immediately when they sinned. But here's what they did. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "Would God we had died in the land of Egypt." Now, brothers and sisters, God hates that kind of spirit in us, in me, but also in you. And God sent great evidence of His displeasure among them. And even in the New Testament, their murmuring and complaining in this situation. Were they hurting? Yes. Were they in an unpleasant circumstance? Yes. Was it because of their sin? Yes. But God still really, really hated their murmuring. And it's such a notable thing with the Lord that it's repeated in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. For instance, reading a few verses, verse 5 says, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." In verse 8, Paul says, "Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. And then verse 10, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." I'm going to give us something that's not going to cost you extra. You don't have to put extra offering in the offering box today for this. Oftentimes, the way we manifest our unthankfulness is through sexual sin. Our thankfulness to God is a guard specifically against that. It's a help for us to avoid that sin in particular, or that class of sins. Now I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, just a moment, in verse 4. While you're turning, I'll begin reading. "You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him." Now here's what I want us to get out of this. We have a tendency in our lives and in our culture to think that things that happen to us are just happening by some mechanistic cause and effect, and things are just going along here. And what I want us to see is the things that happen to us are under the immediate control of God. I used to think, well, have I experienced the chastening hand of God? Well, have I ever suffered because of my sin? Yes, that's God's chastening. And the writer of Hebrews is saying that instead of chafing under this, we should be thankful to God and we should receive this as His loving hand upon us. In verse 7, he says, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." And he goes on with many other words to encourage us to recognize God's disciplining hand as the hand of a loving Father. This will help us give thanks in and for this situation. God allows things to come into our lives, even as a result of our own sin, that conforms us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for these things, we can give thanks. Again, not for the sin as sin, but for what God has as an objective in conforming us to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can thank God for the good things in our lives. We can thank God for the adversity that's in our lives, even when those adverse things spring from our own failures. May God bless us to have a thankful spirit and not a murmuring and complaining spirit. Just try it. I want to encourage you to try this. Even as you're sitting there, just let everything that's been negative to you be a source of thanksgiving. It is hard. Whoa! You mean that thing is now a source of thanksgiving? That event, that person? Oh my. That disappointment? It's good for the soul. It's good for the soul. Let's look at the next division. And these last two questions we'll not spend nearly as much time on. Paul says, in everything give thanks. Why do the children of God give thanks? Why do the children of God give thanks? And the answer is, because this is the will of God. This is the will of God. Now somebody says, well, I don't know how to answer all these questions about what the will of God is. You know, if it's God's will that I be thankful, I guess I will be thankful. We're not asked to figure that out. Deuteronomy 29:29, I still believe, applies to this question. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. It's revealed to us that we be thankful in everything. I'll encourage us again with a verse from the Psalm. Psalm 69, verses 30 and 31. I will praise the name of God with a song, will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves. We could write a large check and put it back in the box back there. Brother Herman would rejoice greatly if the Lord moves you to do that. But unless we do that with a cheerful heart, which involves thankfulness, I don't believe that it pleases the Lord. Based on scriptures like this, He's not so much interested in our oxen and bullocks and physical things and tangible things that we sacrifice, unless it's done out of a heart of thanksgiving and gratitude and cheerfulness. Y'all are free to say amen at any point along the way here. Now, Paul says that we know it's the will of God for us to be sanctified in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, and that we should abstain from fornication. And we all say, amen, we know that. We know it's God's will that we not commit fornication. Just as much is it God's will that we be thankful as it is that we abstain from sexual sin. I would never go out and commit adultery, we might think. Well, would we ever arise from our pillow after a night of sleep and not be thankful to God? Would we ever, at the end of the day, lie down to sleep without being thankful to God? Would we ever come to the house of God without thanksgiving, enter into His praise, into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise? Would we ever have an opportunity where we have the ability and the privilege to speak of the great things God has done and fail to do so? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 15, Peter says, it is the will of God that ye will with well-doing may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. But what is it that puts to silence the foolishness of ignorant men? Look at chapter 4 and verse 12. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. We glorify God and put to silence these railings against the Lord by how we react in fiery trials that God brings upon us. The third question in this verse, Paul says that we are to give thanks in everything. We know it's the will of God, but how is it that we give thanks? The answer is, in Christ Jesus. We give thanks through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can see Jesus' life as a pattern for thanksgiving. I personally do not believe that Jesus ever ate a meal without giving thanks. We see Jesus in prayer giving thanks. He says some unusual things, like he says, I thank thee, O Lord, paraphrasing Matthew 11:25, for hardening the non-elect. You've hardened them, you've blinded them, you've kept them from seeing the truth. Now listen, if Jesus could give thanks for that, how much more should we give thanks that he didn't pray that for us, but that he prayed for us that the Lord would send the Comforter for us and come alongside us and help us? The Lord gave special thanks when he had instituted the Lord's Supper. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 27 says that when he took the bread in the Lord's Supper, he gave thanks. In Christ Jesus we give thanks. If we're going to give thanks in Christ Jesus, we would give thanks like the Lord Jesus gave thanks. He gave thanks for everything that the Father had willed. He resigned himself to the will of God. He prayed, Father, if it's your will that I not have to suffer on the cross, let it be done. Nevertheless, not my will but yours be done. We give thanks in Christ Jesus because of our standing in him. We are chosen in Christ. We are in Christ. We are Christ's body. God sees us in Christ. When God looks at us, he doesn't look at our old sinful natures and he doesn't look at what we've done. He sees Christ. Can we not thank God in Christ Jesus? Jesus is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification. He is everything for us. He is my all and all. I am accepted before God in Christ Jesus. When I come to the Lord to try to give thanks, I'm not even coming in myself. I'm coming as a member of Christ's body. I think the devil and our own sinful nature beats us down. You can't give thanks to God because you're a miserable failure. You are not worthy. Well, yes, that's true. You and I are miserable failures, right? We're not worthy to come to the Lord's table. We're not worthy to give thanks to God. That's why it's in Christ Jesus that we give thanks. The psalmist is all the time asking God to look upon his innocency. I've cleansed my hands. I'm innocent of the great transgression, Lord. Examine me. See if there's any fault in me. Well, we can't do that in our own selves. We would not have a chance. It's just ridiculous to think that we could do that. We pray to God that way as members of Christ. We come to the Lord to give thanks in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray with prayers that are in the context of God's eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, according to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11. Paul says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Try it. Try it. Ladies, if you burn the biscuits this afternoon, try it. And we, the rest of us that have to eat burned biscuits, we will try it. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's a real challenge. But may God give us grace to give thanks in and for everything through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would bless us to imitate the Puritans that were in Massachusetts 4 centuries ago as you were establishing civilization as we know it on this continent. I pray that you would fill our hearts with thanksgiving. We acknowledge, Lord, that many of your providences toward us have been painful and they've been difficult. But bless us to recognize that you have been faithful. Your mercies are never ending toward us. And Lord, we still have hope in our Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that you would fill our mouths with thanksgiving. Remove the murmuring. Bless us to repent of that sin. And bless us, Lord, to know that it's your will that we be thankful. Bless us to look at the example of the Israelites as they were murmuring there in the wilderness. And bless us to try to not imitate them, to flee from that example. And Lord, bless us to find our completeness and our happiness and our joy in Christ. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.